Well, the Lord is good. Amen? Now, I'm sure a lot of you have heard things that have been spoken prophetically that, for example, in the last days, we're going to see a saints movement. You heard of that before? Saints movement means God wants to raise up the body of Christ to be the real breakthrough, be the anointed ones, be the army of God, be the ones that carry the kingdom into the world, be the, you know, not a bunch of individual highly, anointed leaders or something like that, but all of you, all, you know, me, you, everybody, to know our place in God, to know what he's given to us, right? To know what the Lord has done, to know what we've got in the Lord, to know our authority and right, to be able to stand up against the devil and what he tries to trip us up with, to be able to go and really see captives set free, people delivered from sin and get saved, people get healed, people have deliverance from demons, even the dead raised. Amen? Do you believe that? No, that's not much. You believe it? You know, you say, I believe it here, but I want my knower to know it, right? That's different. Faith knows. You know, we can believe in our mind. Faith knows. And part of my object in what God wants me to be doing is to be doing that with the body of Christ and with the church so that you know that you know that you know who you are in God and you can come at the things that are opposing you and that you can have a victory and you can see what God will do in through you in your life. I mean, that's what he wants to do with us. He doesn't want us to be just beaten down believers, you know, and if you feel like you've been beaten down and beaten up and beaten over and beaten under, you know, and that's not his plan. His plan isn't that. And sometimes we go, well, what's going on? And I hear, you know, I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and I don't see it. And instead I feel like I need to help all the time. I don't know, you might feel like that. So what I want to do is just lay out a bunch of things in a row here for you. And you know what, if you take these things that I'm going to give you and you start studying down any one of them, you're going to have your mind renewed and you're going to find more in the Lord and you're going to see many of the things I'm talking about start to happen. So I'm starting in Philippians chapter 2, and this is about Christ. And it talks about he made himself nothing, became the form of a servant, being found born in the likeness of man, found in human form, humble himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now here's the good part. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. There isn't any other name. There isn't any other authority. Above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, that means somebody saying it. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Where? Everywhere, in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. In heaven, the angels bow. On the earth, all men bow to the knees to Jesus. Now, there's rebellion now, but that's what the plan is. And under the earth, every devil, every demon of hell has to yield to the name of Jesus, and every tongue confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord means what the kingdom of God is. Jesus, you want to understand the kingdom of God? Here, I can put it in a nutshell for you. Jesus is King. That's it. Say it out with me. Jesus is King. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. And you might say, well, you know, I don't see everything under his authority right now. And so we're in a conflict. We say, well, if he is king, if the kingdom of God's working right now, now, you know, we've heard before, of course, he will return and rule and reign himself in his resurrected bodily form. That's coming one day. But his kingdom is here now. How is it here right now? Well, you think about it this way. The government of Canada rules in Campbell River. And somebody might say, well, listen, the government of Canada back in Ottawa is thousands of kilometers away. How can it rule? Well, you know how it rules. The law is established, right? RCMP is here to enforce the law. The province, the city governments are constituted under the laws of the government in Ottawa. That's how it rules. And then when there's any rebellion, when there's criminal activity, the RCMP enforces the law Because the government of Canada is here. We're part of it. It's here, right? That's the way to understand the kingdom of God being here. And the kingdom of God is here. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Now, if I go to, let's touch something else here. When you're born again and become a Christian, your spirit is born again. Your spirit is made alive where it was once dead, we're told by Paul. It was once dead in sin, trespasses and sin. Now your spirit is alive in Christ. You're in him. You're of him. His spirit comes and joins to your spirit. You are not the same anymore. Every believer here, when you came into Christ, the Holy Spirit came in and you're born again, you are not the same anymore. You are made in the image of God by the work of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is in him. And that's why you'll find places in the Bible that says we are in Christ, and other places Christ is in us. It's the same way that Jesus would say, the Father was in me and I am in the Father. That's what the reality is right now. That's the reality. You got to understand. See, I'm giving you pieces here. You go study it out. Be like a Berean, you know, again, don't just take Terry's word for it. Go start studying it up. Find it out. That's the reality. But you say, I don't experience it. Well, there's a reason for that. Our body and our soulical parts, like our mind, will, and emotions, still are unregenerated. Our body's going to die, and we'll get a new body. And our mind, will, and emotions, we have to bring them into alignment with this new life. Right? And that's called renewing your mind. That's the renewal of the mind, talked about in the Bible. And so my thinking, my natural thinking, we're deliberately deciding, I want to bring this into alignment with this new life in the Spirit. And how can I do that? I can do that through the Word of God. And, you know, through the ministry that takes place in the body of Christ. That's why Paul said things like that he's laboring to see Christ formed in I can't remember which church he was talking to. Christ formed in you, he said, to that church. He's laboring to see Christ formed in you. But did you know, you see, when your mind and your thinking and your actions come into alignment with your life in the Spirit, you begin to realize the things that you already possess in Christ because you're born again, and according to Ephesians, by the Spirit, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And where is he seated? It says in Ephesians, far above every rule and authority. He's seated right in that place I read in Philippians where he has the name that's above every other name. And we're participating in it with him. And I could go into Ephesians, there's lots on that, but I won't do that right now. But you just check out Ephesians, you'll see a lot of that stuff right there. The point is, we've got to align our mind, our thinking, our emotions by the renewing of our mind with what we have in the Holy Spirit. And what we need to understand and base our life on, first and foremost, is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Things that don't line up with what Jesus is about are out of order in his kingdom. So if you know of criminal activity, for example, here in Campbell River, you're not going to say, oh, well, I guess we're not part of Canada. You wouldn't say that. What you'd say is, wait a minute, there's a rebellion going on here, and the RCMP can come and enforce what the laws of the land are. Now, this, I want to think a couple things, for example. 1863, Abraham Lincoln declared the Emancipation Proclamation that the slaves were free, right? Now, what that meant was the law of the land was now that slaves, whether you were still in a plantation, you were still laboring with chains, you are free men, women, and children. That was now the law of the land. The law of the land also was if you possessed and owned a slave, you were now breaking the law. And yet, slaves remained in slavery for quite a long time afterwards. And some, you know, might even say they remained in kind of a slavery with the, even until the 60s when they started having the, you know, the civil rights movement and all that. There was a kind of slavery just continued to exist. So a slave and a plantation owner might not have heard about the proclamation, and there they are laboring along in slavery when they're actually made free by the law that was sent out by Abraham Lincoln. You follow what I'm saying? Romans 8 says, for you and me, that the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? The law of sin and death is all about Adam, the sin that came into the world, the fall, sickness, corruption, evil, death. And then the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what Jesus accomplished when he died on the cross and rose again. His life, his work on the cross, and it comes by the Spirit, brings life. Sozo, life, complete life. Doesn't mean just eternal life. It's total life. It's the promise of freedom from sickness and disease and Satan and demons and the promise of eternal life at the end. You know what? I'm just going to have a jump here and have a look here at Isaiah 53 because, and it says two places in the New Testament, this was fulfilled by Christ. But listen, you know, to what it says here. To verse 3, he was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from men whom hide their faces, he was despised. We esteemed him not. Now, this translation says this. Surely he has borne, or means carried away, our griefs and carried our sorrows. But we esteemed him to be stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and we with his stripes are healed. And Peter put it as a done deal when he said that we are healed. It's done. It's done. So now what's he saying here? If I get into the original language a little bit, surely he has borne, it says, our griefs, carried our sorrows. Well, let's look in the original language. What we find out is the word is koli. He's borne my sickness. Koli is sickness. He bore your sickness on the cross and carried my sorrow. The word is macabre, where we get the word macabre, you know, that word. My pain. He took my sickness and pain on the cross, and later by his stripes it says we are healed. He also took my transgression. He took my sin, all the sin I ever committed. He bore it on the cross. That's how you became a Christian in the first place. You believe that Jesus Christ, well, he died there with every guilt, every bit of crime, every sin, anything I ever committed. He paid for the whole works. I believe it, God. I receive it, Lord. Forgive me and make me your own. That's how you become a Christian. It's because he paid for my sin. But then it says right there in the same passage, he paid for the other evil stuff that goes on in the world. The pain, the sickness, the iniquity. Iniquity is the wrestling and the struggling with your inner character. The junk that goes on in your mind and emotions. He paid for it. He died with it. He had a victory over it. He accomplished it, and it's a done deal. And, you know, there's lots and lots of theology out there about all this kind of stuff that puts it off and gives all these reasons, and, well, maybe a person's got this and that, this and that. No. It's a done deal. If somebody came to you and you're leading them to Christ and said to them, you know what, I don't believe Jesus can really forgive me and come into my life because I have all these sins I've committed, and I'm wrestling with this thing, this particular sin. What would you say to them? Somebody tell me. What would you say? Doesn't matter. He paid for it. And you go, but yeah, but I'm wrestling with it. I'm just in a terrible battle. You'd say, just believe. It doesn't matter. He paid for it. And yet when it comes to the other issues like sickness and disease, we find all kinds of excuses and set them aside instead of going after faith and saying, you know what? Jesus paid for my healing. Jesus paid for deliverance from all the power of the evil one. Jesus paid to set men free, just like you see in the first church in Acts. It's real. It's real. It's real. You get to the mission field. You know what? You know, it's crazy. I've been over in India and places like that, and here's these pastors under persecution and stuff like that. Some of them driven out of their villages, their homes burned down, with joy and loving Jesus. You say, how can these people have joy and suffer so much? Because they know the joy of the Lord. You know? They know this. They know this. And so this is an amazing thing. Now, what I want to get at here is that the mission that's been given to us in Mark chapter 16 is to bring forth everything I just explained to you. Here's Jesus' commission. He said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, good news to all creation. I'll explain that. Whoever believes is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those that believe. In thy name they will cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents in their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And even another, you know, passage, you can see things like raise the dead. The good news of the kingdom. The good news is Jesus did it. That's the good news. The good news is Jesus is king right now. And the good news is through the church, we're supposed to see it happen. We're supposed to see it happen. Now, when we lead someone to Christ, we see it happen. Sometimes we've seen healing. But I'll tell you what, we want to get on track with this and get moving with this so that we see it happen. You might say, well, what is going on? Well, we have this issue of something that's illegal is going on. Jesus accomplished this, but the devil is working hard to enslave people all the time and deceive them and tear them down. And we're watching more and more of this rise up in our country as our country tries to order society to live without God, to even reject God's ways and God's laws. We have a criminal on the loose, and we have a gospel to liberate them and defeat the enemy, and we're supposed to occupy until he returns, the Bible says. Occupy till he comes. Now, that's kind of what we're doing on Thursday nights. You know, we just decided, you know what, we're going to press forward with these healings, and, you know, we're coming up against some pretty potent resistance in the spirit realm. We've seen breakthroughs for some people and up in battles with others. But I'll tell you what, for me personally, I'm just got kind of the place where I'm saying, I'm fed up. Jesus paid for this, and we're going to see it, and we're going to receive it. And God, whatever it takes to get my heart and my spirit and my thinking in alignment, I want it in alignment. Show me how to line it up. Show me how to do this. And, you know, I've seen so many times over the years where I lay the hands on, like it says in the Bible, you shall lay the hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say they might. It says they shall. And I'm thinking, I haven't seen a shall, I've seen a might. I want to see the shall. Aren't you thinking that yourself? Some of you might be thinking, I want to see it once. You know what? You're going to. And I go to places where the faith and the believing this is higher, we see more. And here's the struggle in Campbell River. Now let me get the try to describe this a little bit. What Satan wants to do to us is to get us to think this isn't ours. That's how he works. He works mainly by coming to deceive us, to lie in our minds and our thoughts. And then also attacking bodies and that sort of thing. But he's just that lying deceiver. He wants to convince you and me that this isn't true, what I've described. And he has ways of doing it. And one of the ways I've noticed, like, big time, I battled it in Campbell River, is what he wants to do is press us down. discourage us, oppress us. You know what I mean? Anybody felt that other than me? I've had major battles with that. It's like this. Here's the way. He wants us, first of all, not to advance. Whatever he can do, he wants us to back up, to regress. So we don't keep on going forward. If he can just regress the church, that's what he wants. And then he will try to keep us down so we don't express anything. And he'll do that in a number of ways I'm going to explain in a minute. But he wants us not to express anything. That's why it's so important, like when we come to worship, that we go past that timidity. God's not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's the spirit at work in us. And I will praise the Lord. Why? Because it's a commandment in the scripture. I'm going to do what the word says. I'm going to praise the Lord. When I praise the Lord, I bring my mouth, my body, I bring my thinking, I bring my emotions into alignment with the Holy Spirit. That's why if you spend time praising the Lord, you will find the other things start to drop away and your spirit lines up and you start to feel light and joyful and peaceable because you're bringing those things into alignment with the Lord. The enemy doesn't want that. He wants to talk us out of all those things. He'll suppress us as well, keeping us concealed so that we won't dare step out. We won't dare pray with someone. We won't even share Jesus with them. And and then finally he can even oppress and discourage and depress and that kind of stuff. He'll push us down and push us down and push us down. And now, that seems to be a real big tactic in Campbell River is to push down the church, to cloud our thinking, to get us to be discouraged all the time, to get us that we pray, we're not seeing what we thought we'd have, and it's not working. And discouraged to get negative, and then he can get us down lower so he won't step out anymore. He can get us down lower so we just kind of exist. And you know what I mean? That's what he does. That's what he does. He wants to hold us down, even maybe into depression that way. It's part of his tactic. Now, this is interesting because I was asking the Lord, I said, God, what is this stronghold? You know, he uses these kind of tactics all over to try to knock down the church, but what is this stronghold? What's the nature of this thing in Campbell River, Lord? Because it seems to be acute. It's something I've battled with since I've been here. And I said, Lord, what's the nature? What's the strong man of this thing? And immediately I had the Lord, Lord say to me, it's pleasure. You can normally identify a stronghold because you see some, like if there's a stronghold in the city, there'll be a sin that's always the big one, all the time. And so I was praying about this, especially the oppression that can get on believers. And he said, pleasure. And I went, what? What do you mean pleasure? You know, I'm kind of talking with God. What do you mean pleasure? How can pleasure be a, what do you mean pleasure's a sin? Pleasure's a tactic of the devil. You gave us all things for us to enjoy, you said in the word. I didn't quite get it for a moment. And then immediately some scriptures started to come to mind. And let me share them with you, because I think if you'll follow this through, you'll realize how this kind of works against us like this. And so I look here, for example, at 2 Timothy 3. Let's just go there right now. Last days. We're in the last days. There will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of money, or lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents. Now, you know, these might mostly don't apply to us, I suppose, but they might. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless. See that happening around our country. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Listen to this part. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Ooh, lovers of pleasure. And, it started thinking to me, when do I get discouraged? And it was often when things didn't go the way I desired them to go. You know what I mean? And it's like, then that heaviness can start to come in and push down. The desires I had weren't being fulfilled. And the heaviness start to come in. And you start to go, oh, what's the use? God, are you really here? What are you doing with me anyway? I pray and this stuff doesn't happen. You know, and I believe what's happening is that desire for pleasure is so acute in our culture now that that's a tactic that is being used against the church. It doesn't mean God doesn't give us things to enjoy. He does. But he'll use that, you know, like judo. He uses the opponent's weight against them. He uses that to trip us because without realizing we can fall into those desires for pleasure. There's another scripture about this. Jesus talked about the, and it's the same word. What I did then was take the word pleasure, and I went using the Strong's Concordance and searched for that word, showed up, and it showed up three places. And another one where it showed up was in the parable of the sower and the seed. And there was one kind of seed that got sowed out in a place where there was rocky soil, and it sprang up immediately. But it says the desire for riches and pleasures came up as well, and it soon choked it out, and they didn't bear fruit. And I thought, you know what? That's what we're fighting. We're fighting the fact that, first of all, you know, listen to this. There's two seeds growing there, right? There's the first seed, the sower sowed, the word of God. The seed of God is springing up and actually alive, starts to grow. But this other seed there, which is the desire for riches and pleasures, same word, the pleasures that was described earlier, starts springing up, and it comes up and starts to choke out the first one. And I recognize that at work in me as well, choking things out. Choking things out. Because I would desire it maybe more than I desire God. Or I would get oppressed and discouraged about those things that are not working out the way I wanted them to. And back and forth, here comes this battle. And that's part of the tactic he's using. You know what I'm saying? Talking about? I mean, we should all be able to identify ourselves in here. And then finally, the book of James, the Apostle James says about we do not have because we do not ask God. But then he goes, the next verse says, you ask and do not receive because you're asking to spend it on your pleasures. Same word in Greek, the same Greek word for the pleasure being used there. I thought, whoa. God, I think you put your finger right on me. I think you put your finger right on the struggle we're having with the church as the believers in Campbell River. We want to see these things happen. But in our soul, we've got this double-mindedness going on where we're being swept along with the pleasures of the world that are being so amplified. That's the tactic the devil uses all around the world now. Get it in our face all the time. Get it in the media. You know, get it in advertising constantly. And then he can overcome us, not just with carnal desire, but, you know, good desire can overcome the will of God. And then he can use that to hold us down, discourage us, keep us away. Our mind is not renewed. We don't see what God wants to do. We don't see the mission. We don't know what it's like to be a church that has the power of God at work. Because in the final analysis, what the Lord calls us to ultimately be is dead to ourselves and alive to him. Dead to ourselves and alive to him. You know, I've got to tell you, this is a weird thing. Last year I started talking and preaching about holiness and that the Lord will purify our heart and live a holy life where their inner self is experience that cleansing. Weirdly enough, I put two and two together recently, is that since that time, the support for the radio station started dropping. I thought, what? You know, I hadn't realized that. But since I was bringing that emphasis on, I started seeing it go down, down, down. And I thought, what? What's going on? And since that time, I've heard a number of different ways, even several believe, because I'd be praying, Lord, you called us to do this radio station. Where's the support? You know, you have people that you want to do this. And I even started hearing from a couple of sources that people said they knew God talked to them to support the station, but they weren't going to do it. What on earth is going on? I thought, something they don't like, but God wants? I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. And I thought, God, what am I supposed to do? When I started understanding this, I said, God, what am I supposed to do? Immediately comes to my mind is Elijah. Ask me to send the ravens. You know what the ravens did? You know, when Elijah had to flee and went in the cave, God commanded the ravens, and they would fly to the people's houses, and there's somebody just cooked some bread, set it out to cool. Bird comes down, takes it away, flies it off to Elijah. Somebody's got some meat there just cooked on the barbecue, and takes it out, puts it in the plate, turns his back, boom, that raven takes it off. You know, we were camping in the summer. I tell you what, you watch those birds, those ravens out there. Oh, my goodness, they're a noisy bunch. And when somebody leaves the campsite and they got a left bit of food out there, you ever seen this when you're camping? You know, they got a bit of food out there, all of a sudden, they're talking to each other, it's almost like a weird kind of human voice. And it's one spot's the food, the people have left, that's out this call, and there's a whole bunch of them coming all over the woods. And they all swoop down, and boy, they're having their feast, you know. And that was a funny thing, because I just felt like God was saying, ask me for the ravens, you know, I'm going to swoop down, he's going to go, God will go get it. God will go get it, you know. But this is kind of the struggle that we have in this whole thing. And, you know, we get under this oppression, under this discouragement. And so now let me kind of pull this together here. What do we do about it? How do we deal with it? First of all, I've found many times it was hard even for me just to rise up and be the man of God and do the things I knew. Because some discouragement and oppression, sometimes you can get so heavy. You know what I'm saying? You can just feel heavy. How many of you, I mean, honestly, I want to really see it at the show of hands. How many of you say, you know, I battle with this heaviness? Put your hand up if you can say, yeah, okay. See, it's pretty common. And I found a couple of things in this thing. One is, I've got to be convinced of what God wants to do. He wants to raise us up to be a people of the spirit and the renewed mind who set people free. That's the good news. Jesus is King, and he will deliver you from all sin. The sin issue has been settled. Period. He wants us to know that and be people who minister that to other people where God gives you opportunity, wherever a door opens. Doesn't have to go around the world to do it. Could be in your own family, your neighbor, whatever. The sin issue is settled. He wants us to be a people who know it, first of all. Secondly, telling somebody else, that's giving the good news. Thirdly, getting them through, right? He wants us, secondly, to be a people of holiness. Now, some of you might say, you know, maybe you wouldn't even tell. You struggled with some sin for a long, long time. I'm a believer, but I've struggled with sin. I've struggled with this temptation. It's never left me. I've always said, you know what? That's not God's plan. Jesus paid for sin and iniquity. He's paid for it for us to be free. Period. It's paid for. What has to happen is a total consecration to the Lord, and maybe there's something pounding on you that's demonic that just won't leave you alone, and you need to be set free from that. Because that's how the enemy comes. He just comes pounding away, puts in suggestion, puts in thoughts, comes into our mind. Okay, no, I take every thought captive, the Bible says, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to make it obey the Lord. You know, and we start to realize our authority and what we're battling with. Third, and this is what we're pressing in on, is God wants to heal people. Listen, I want to try to put this in a way you can get it. You know, some people say, well, God is using sickness and disease to try to mature me and all this kind of stuff. Uh-uh. Sickness is the law of sin and death at work trying to kill you. Your body naturally resists it. God made our bodies to resist sickness and disease, but that thing's trying to kill you. It may get partway, it may only do a little bit, but sickness and disease is the work of the law of sin and death at work there. The devil is coming and oppressing people and trying to kill them. A lot of sickness in the Bible was demonic, and he cast it out. Not all of it, of course. And some of it had to do with sin, some of it didn't. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference because Jesus already paid for it. See, sometimes we're praying for healing for people. We want to go through their past and dig up all their sins and find out what the cause could be and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's not the way it works. If the army from the north marching down into the south and the slaves are free and they come up to a slave, they say, you're free. They're not going to say, okay, so how did you become a slave and what bad things have you done that you deserve to be? No, they don't say that. You're free. You're free. You know, that's how they would work it. Isn't that right? And you'll notice Jesus, even when he's ministering to the sick, he would heal the person, and then he would say, go and sin no more. Didn't have to deal with the sin to get healed because he pays for it already. See, that's the part. We get it kind of flipped around. Dealing with stuff like that, then it's a walk of discipleship. We're growing in God. We're learning how to walk. But there's nothing in the Bible that says you got to become a mature disciple before God will heal you. That's not there like that. It's the other way around. He wants to set people free. He wants to set people free this morning and wherever you go. He wants to do that. That's what he's like. That's what his character is like, you know? And so we get this straight in our mind. This is how we get free. Start to learn this. Start to apply it. Secondly, we rise up. You're going to have to rise up aggressively in your relationship to God. And if you're not a prayer and a worshiper, you've got to get up and be one. You've got to be a person who reads the Word to get the renewal of your mind at work. Like I said earlier on, there's nothing that can shake that off better than you just start thanking God and praising God, worshiping God, thanking God. Now, Karen and I sometimes have done that. We did do it together, and just drives this heaviness away. And we just do it and do it. We obey. We're doing it because Jesus is the King, right? You know, think about the verse that says, "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise." Now, listen. Those are kingdom words. Kingdom, you know, the regular kingdom. The gates in the city, the gates in the palace, was where the governmental authority took place. The elders would come, they would decide things. And then the courts was where you'd go into the very presence of the king. So you want to come in to the place where God administers his laws and what he's decided and what Jesus has done. I enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Thanksgiving in my heart. When the thanksgiving's rising up, things happen. When thanksgiving rises up, the stuff that tries to dog us can just fall off sometimes. When the thanksgiving rises up, many times there's a breakthrough and a victory and it surprises us. And then we enter his courts with praise. We begin to praise and worship God. That's why, again, I just reiterate it, we get desiring to praise God and you start to feel the presence of God. Not that God's not here. The Holy Spirit's here. Jesus lives in me. But what's happening? I'm entering. I'm taking my heart, my thinking, my conscious effort, and I'm entering. And I can come in and have audience with King Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That's why I believe in that sense, an aggressive praise and worship. You know, there's something about waiting on the Lord and all that. That's great. But you just say, oh, God, you're worthy, and I'm going to say so. I'm going to declare it in myself. I'm going to declare it and praise it. I'm going to declare it in the heavenly places. I'm going to declare it over Campbell River. We're going to play it on the radio over Campbell River. We're going to pray it over Campbell River. We're going to see this change in Jesus' name. Follow that? And then I begin with my speech agreeing with what the Lord says rather than what I feel or rather than what the world says? You know how, let me back up here. You know how you can tell if the enemy's bombarding you? Because he comes along with all suggestions and is trying to push you down. And the devil uses D words like this. Discouragement, disillusionment, depression. Think of another one. Defeat, disqualification, doubt, disillusionment, despair. Wow, more than I thought of. No. That's what he does. You can say, okay, that's where that's coming from. The D stuff. But you know what? He was defeated at Calvary. We're called to be the victory in the victory. We're called to exalt Christ. We're called to demonstrate all the things of the kingdom of God. We're called to set captives free. We're called to declare the good things of God. We're called to declare the good news to people so they're free from sin completely. We're called to be holy. We're called to live in righteousness. You're called to be a free man and woman and to experience healing and deliverance. And I believe, like Barry was kind of talking earlier on, this, you know what? We got more than enough here to see Campbell River changed. And it's not so much that we are trying to get something more from God. He's already provided all in Christ. But we want to line ourselves up with what he's done. Oh, Jesus, put me in alignment. I want to be a conduit. I don't want to be a pipe with a cap on it. I want to open the valve, so to speak. I want that to work. One of the biggest tactics that the enemy's used on me is just a feeling of, I can't do it. Because I experienced defeats many times. I'm just like, oh, I can't. And I have to realize, no, that's not the way it works. I'm not listening to that. I'm not following that. I can because I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Notice how that verse works? I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Not my strength. I look at my strength, there isn't anything there. It's been a lot of, it's just weakness. But he says, you can do all things. Everything he said for you to do, you can do it through Christ who strengthens you. Why is he strengthening you? How's he do it? Because he's in you now. He's in you right now. He's in you right now and will strengthen you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm going to say, you know what? It's time that we get really radical for Jesus, church. We used to call it being sold out. You know? All of you, none of me, Jesus. That's just, we get to that level. Sold out. And before we close, what I'd like us to do is something. We've been with those healing meetings Wednesday, now they're Thursday night. Sharing this, praying for people. We've seen some healings and things. But we have a couple of major battles going on for healing. I mean, they're just major. Now, Roy Moyer, who I've been doing this with, again, this is just so weird. You know, here's a guy that's seen healing and miracles. He's battling cancer. And we've laid hands on him. We've done this. And we're pressing and pushing and pressing. And he's had this bladder cancer. And started bleeding last week. He was in the hospital, just got totally weak. And they finally said to him, look, if you don't get all this taken out, you're not going to live throughout the year. And so he's scheduled for this major 7-hour surgery on Wednesday. And something in me is just like, I don't know. I mean, I have compassion, and at the same time, I'm just friggin' mad. I'm just saying, this isn't right. This isn't right. You know, we use the name of Jesus and command that thing to cease and desist. It's illegal because Jesus paid for it. You see what I'm saying? It's illegal because Jesus paid it. Now, you know, I'm going, God, I'm doing everything I know to get from here to there. But I'm not stopping. We're going to just keep going with this thing. And we're going to see victories. But it is a battle in that sense. But you know what I'd like to do right now? If we can pray and agree in prayer this morning. Start with Roy, but maybe there's others here that need something. And we're not doing the calling out God, please, oh God, would you please, you know. God says he does. See, this is the change in thinking. We've got to renew our mind. God says it was paid for. It's like somebody begging God, oh Lord, oh God, will you please forgive me? I know I've done so. You know, you'd say, Jesus paid for your sin. It's paid now. It's a matter of belief and receive it, right? So we're at that level. We're saying, you cancer, in the name of Jesus. And I believe there's something, you know, there's a demonic component to it because it's another life that operates in a person's body and is taking over those cells, you see. So let's stand up together as an indication, let's agree. Let's just storm heaven for a few minutes. And I don't know what else will happen. Maybe
one of the things that I felt like the Lord said to me, just as Terry was sharing, was this thing of pleasure, and that pleasure is sort of the stronghold over Camel River. And I felt like that I wanted to confirm that in this sense, that Camel River has been sort of per capita the drug capital of Canada. I don't know if you know that or not, but we are probably, as a community, one of the highest per capita in addiction. We have more kids, for instance, in foster care because of addiction than most communities our size. And so addiction is this massive issue in our community. Not only that, but there's all kinds of different addictions. And the idea of pleasure, you know, the scripture says there is pleasure in sin for a season, but it ends in death. And I felt like one of the things that we could do, even as a body, I think that our desire for pleasure often stops us from fulfilling the desires that God has for us in the kingdom. For sure. But I also think we just want to go and do our thing, as opposed to doing the things that God calls us to do. So I just felt like even before we pray, I just felt like maybe we ought to lift this pleasure thing up to the Lord and just ask him to come and that we would repent of it, that we would say, Lord, wherever pleasure rules me, wherever my desire for just what I want, for my desire, is the thing that I follow as opposed to your truth, your way, your kingdom. Then we're just going to lay that down together. So Father in heaven, you know my heart, you know my struggles, you know all of us as a community where our struggles are. And so often there is pleasure in sin. And you said that the problem is pleasure. We're seekers of pleasure. And that pleasure can even be, it doesn't necessarily need to look like sin. It can be, I love all my vacations and I am retired and I deserve to be retired and do what I want to do now. Father, we lift up pleasure to you. Just through this prophetic word, I believe it's true that, Lord, we lift it up to you this morning as the body of Christ and as a part of the church in Campbell River. Father, we lift up this idol of pleasure. We have an idol of pleasure, and we ask you, Lord, first off, we reject it in Jesus' name. Lord, we repent of serving that idol in the name of Jesus. We just repent right now. We ask, Lord, that you would put something in us. You would strengthen us to resist this idol. And also, Father, that we would just reject it. We would line ourselves up with your truth, with your desires, with your with what is good, with what is right, with the fruit of the Spirit, which is things like perseverance and long-suffering and the ability to resist the devil and to follow after the things that are good and right and wholesome and true. Father, we set our hearts and our minds on the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. We just collectively repent, both on our individual selves, but also for our community and for the church in Campbell River. We come against this idol of pleasure, and we ask, Lord, that you would strike it down in us, but also, Father, we reject it, and we seek your kingdom. We seek you above all else. Amen. Amen.
You know, one of the things to realize about an idol, and I think you're just right on there, Barry, there's the idol in the land. Part of its pleasure is, you look in the Old Testament, God didn't destroy the idol. The people did. What that means is the Lord convicts you of that kind of idolatry in your life, and you can tell an idol rules you because when an idol's at work, your emotions get taken over by the thing. You're serving it with your feelings. You're serving it with your thinking. You start to go after it because you feel it's like you want it. And it's conflicting with your God. You know, like even when the Israelites, you know, were complaining to God and wanted food, God, you know, it's like Psalm somewhere, it says that God gave them their desire, but he sent leanness of soul. He sent a leanness into their soul so that they get hungry back after him, you know. And so we just, you know, we have to say to that thing, if you see that pleasure, whatever it might be, and remember, God's not against pleasure. He says he gives us every, you know, good things for us to enjoy. But when you see it, it rules you, and you just say, I'm tearing this down in the name of Jesus. And if you have something like that, you recognize it right now, you just say to it, I'm tearing this thing down in the name of Jesus. I'm not serving that anymore. I'm not serving that thing anymore. I'm serving you with all my heart, Lord, all my soul, which is my mind and my will and my emotions, and all my mind, all my strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands up just for a moment. I'm going to pray something over you. You know, I just felt like the Holy Spirit quickened something to me, was that what I've been sharing with you this morning are like gold. It's like jewels. It's divine riches for your life. And I can just see it kind of coming down. So, Lord, we embrace your word right now. Just begin to receive that. It's the presence of the Lord. He just wants to minister that right into your spirit. Lord, we receive your riches of glory. We receive your riches. Father, let's say it out loud. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bring the word of God to remembrance. That I wouldn't forget these things. But Heavenly Father, I want to apply them in my life. In every situation that I meet, Lord, as I renew my mind in the Word of God, I want to experience your Spirit flowing through me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's just praise him right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Say it out loud. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's say this. Thank you, Lord. You are the deliverer. You are my healer. You are my king. Jesus, you are king. You are king, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's just pray. Who has got, you know, sickness and stuff, and you just said, man, this thing has just not been moving. And put your hand up if that's anybody here. Okay. Let's just go after the healing in the name of Jesus for Roy right now, okay? And anybody, if you get a prophetic word, I just want to give you this scripture. You know, in Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, "He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction." Now, it's interesting. The word that he sent forth his word is dabar in Hebrew. It is a word event. It's prophetic. He sent forth that word. And how many of you know when God says a word, it's forever settled in heaven? You see what I'm saying about this? It's about Christ. It's forever settled. What Jesus has done at the cross is forever settled in heaven. He sends forth his word and heals. So, Heavenly Father, right now, just say it with me, in the name of Jesus. Get it? Let's just, what can I say? There's something, I don't know what it is in me, Barry, you know. Something in me just comes up from the guts, and it just says, in the name of Jesus, just pull on your spirit, you know, get a hold of this thing. In the name of Jesus, we declare healing. Say it. Over Roy Moyer. Say it out loud. Say it to the devil. Say it to the cancer. Say it like you mean it. Come on. You devil, you spirit of cancer. Come on, say it. You spirit of cancer, in the name of Jesus, you get out of Roy. Every cancer cell die right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, health come into his body. Vigor come into his body. Strength come into his body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, God, I just say for every person in this room who suffers with any sickness or disease or affliction or oppression, goes in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, we're accessing the divine promises that you have for us. We say, God, we want to live in them and never leave them. We want to live in them and never leave them. Can you say it out loud? Just say it. I want to live in your promises and never leave them. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And let's go one step further. And boy, you got, you know, you may not be there, so don't say it. But if you're getting there, you got to say it. All of you and none of me. God, all of you, none of me. Yeah. God, I count that the old man died with Christ, and I'm supposed to consider this dead. Yeah, that's what Paul said. All of you, Jesus, none of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to tell you, you can sit down. I'm going to close with this thing because God just reminded me of this. This is interesting. This happened. The reminder of this came yesterday. I hadn't thought about it for many years. Over the years, since I've been in Campbell River, when the Spirit of God was really moving, sometimes I would have a vision, and it was the same kind of vision. What I would see in this vision would be the Spirit of God moving in a way that looks like, have you ever seen that on TV when a volcano has erupted and the lava's running, and the lava's red hot, but it's just sort of under the surface, and there's kind of a black crust, but you can see the lava through the cracks in the crust? You know what I mean? And you see this bright red glow, heat going along, but it's all kind of black and crusty over top. And Spirit of God would be moving in different times, like some of the things that happen, renewal, different. And all of a sudden, I would see this vision. And it's like God was saying to me, what I was seeing was the moving of the Spirit we were experiencing at that moment. In other words, almost all of it was under the surface, but we were just experiencing a little bit cracking through the top. Okay, but most of what God was doing was under the surface and hidden. And as I was praying yesterday, suddenly God brought that picture to my mind. And as I was considering like what I've been sharing today, I started to see the lava coming up like a boiler. And it said, God wants to bring it out in the open through the body of Christ. It's time for the power and the working of the Spirit of God in the people of God. It's going to come out. It's the last days. It's going to come out. It's going to get clearer and clearer and clearer. And it's here. It's here. And we just take hold of it and say, yes, God, I want that. Not just the under the surface thing where it's kind of flowing along. It just comes out, Lord, like just burst into the surface, running your power and your spirit, pouring forth into the land. Amen? Amen. It's ours to have. It's what he did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.